League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Feedback from my computer here because I am live outside of the hotel here. If you're watching on Twitch or you're watching on Twitter or YouTube, wherever you get your show, you'll see that I'm a lot darker. Until they turn the lights on here in the breakfast room, then we will be a little bit darker. I apologize for that, but it will lighten up here soon in California. I am live here. Dell and Lance are back in Houston in the studio. And let's take a look. I don't know if it's any different than it is there. But let me ask you guys a question. Let's start with the standings in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
The standings in Major League Baseball. Let's take a look at those standings as they stand right now here on August 1st, 2024.
In the year of our Lord.
In the year of our Lord, because I am trying to bring it up, it's my computer is a little slow as well. Not only is it noisy, but it's a little slow. So let's take a look at the standings here as we get going here in 2024. The Philadelphia Phillies still in front in the NL East. Congratulations!
Yeah,
to
they
them.
Haven't been playing very well, and they're still in front, so that's good.
No,
for them,
they're still in front, which is awfully nice for them for that organization.
Yep. Yep.
Let's see who in the NL Central. That would be the Milwaukee Brewers. Are they still in first place? I can't. My standings aren't up yet.
Yeah, I believe Milwaukee's still in first.
Milwaukee Brewers are still in first place there, and in the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are here in this town, they are in
despite
first place.
Despite losing 2-3 against the Astros.
Now let's see, Baltimore. They have the lead. Oh wow, not by much anymore. The New York Yankees are creeping back into that thing.
Jazz Chisholm's been a nice.
Jazz Chisholm is really spectacular. Mm-hmm. That acquisition. The Cleveland Guardians. They're now the Guardians. I don't know if you heard.
That's what they started calling them. Yeah.
There's some lights. Did you guys see the lights come on? And in the AL West, Lance, who's in first place in the AL West?
Well, I got to get through all these 60-win teams first, and all those other divisions.
Yeah, and there's 65 wins, 61,
I'm looking
63.
At the games behind. I don't know. It's two dashes. Seattle.
Well, let's take a look at win percentage.
Let's take a look at win percentage. Well, one team hasn't played as many games as the other.
Well, but one team is 56-52. The other is 57-53.
We have to play out the whole. You have to play it.
Win percentage wise, then do you have a first place team? And you have basically a second place team. It's a tie for first.
What's the tiebreaker? Is it last 10?
No, it's not a tiebreaker. Win percentage is the differential.
It's head to head.
One team is a 519 win percentage, and the other is a 518. Which one is which?
My computer does not say.
Oh, it doesn't. Mine does. It says the Houston Astros are in first place.
This website just says.
As
tie.
We head into the month of August. Is that something that?
Yeah, that's what it says here. It says.
Could anyone have predicted that? That's my question.
It I don't says know if anyone 4-6 that. Last 10.
Because they were abysmal, 10 games behind. But could anyone have predicted they would be in first place?
Had the and this is the thing that we have to live with. Had the Astros lost because O'Neill Cruz was never born, then you would have still claimed this was a win for you, even if they were behind Seattle.
O'Neill Cruz's arm propelled the Astros.
Let me tell you, well, his glove, into first his arm, place. Just three errors in two innings. Was two on one play, but I've already given it to you once. You want it again? That's fine. The Astros.
No, because yesterday it was said that the Astros. It was controversial because they weren't in first place.
Luckily, the Mariners haven't played enough games, so technically they are in first. Because the Mariners have one more loss than the Astros have. Actually, the Mariners have played more games than the Astros. So
yes,
the Mariners have one more win, but one more loss.
Yes, they
they've won more. But they've also, the failing Mariners lost yesterday, and they've lost 53 games. The failing, highly overrated failing Mariners.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the only thing worse than Trump's performance in front of the black journalists are the Mariners' performance in the last month and a half.
It was interesting yesterday, too. Both of them.
Did anyone think both Trump lost and yesterday. Black journalists was going to be a...
Wow.
It was going to be a clear W for him. I was like, "Well, I can't wait to say what he says." I'm not familiar with that case. Is it the water one? With the water, when the woman was shot in the face with the water, and then she had the water. I was like, "Oh boy, I'm deleting out of this."
Well,
going back to watching O'Neill Cruz, and as some people call him, Great Value Ellie Cruz, also known as Kirkland Ellie Cruz.
Well, just like Kamala just realized, well, she used to be Asian, and now she realized she's black.
That's right.
The Mariners used to be a good baseball
team. Used to be in first place, and now they're not.
Yes, and now they're not. That's the same. Say the Mariners are the Kamala Harris, of the AL West.
So the Astros are Trump, and the Mariners are Kamala?
At the present time, they lead by percentage points.
And the Astros are really... points. Not, and the Astros and Mariners are really not even close to anyone else in the standings. Who are in first place? I'm talking about, obviously.
Here's the deal: is the Astros are in first place. Listen, yeah. they did a couple of things yesterday. Not only did they move into first place, but they also got rid of the other Bagwellian baggage that they had.
Jeez, tied around their neck. God Almighty!
Holy crap!
To get rid of him. He's an arm in the bullpen. I thought for sure they would hang on to him. I never thought DFA was possible with Rafael Montero. I thought best case scenario, he just doesn't make a playoff roster if they make the playoffs. Oh, no. They basically said, Jeff, we've got to get rid of your guys. These guys are terrible. They ate a year and a half on Abreu and a full year and a quarter. Well, actually a little bit more than a quarter. On Montero, they eat that money. Oh, my God. Disastrous deals. Okay. And, John, never did you and I ever agree with a three-year deal for Montero.
Never.
No, and this is on the high of winning a World Series. And even we looked at that and said, wait a minute.
Too much money
in 3 years for a guy who had his best career year? Which ended up being an outlier year.
And he was, I didn't even think, of all the guys to in that bullpen to give that money to.
Would you like to have Neris right now and not and never have signed Montero?
Yeah. So who costs their owner more? Daryl Morey with his Hong Kong tweet or Jeff Bagwell by signing players?
Morey.
Morey costs
more. Let's be real. Morey was a very good general manager for the Houston Rockets during his tenure. But that was when you piss off China, and they wipe out all Rockets games from allowed to have Rockets
all the
games ever.
If you get stopped in China with Rockets gear,
the Rockets don't exist in China anymore.
No,
so I'm going to go ahead and say Daryl costs more money than Bagwell did.
Yeah, but Bagwell's trying to catch up.
There's only so much he can do.
Yeah, I mean. It's a joke, but listen, Bagwell was the face of the Abreu thing. He flew down to Miami to sign him.
I think that was his guy. There was no general manager at that time.
I mean, he's a first baseman. You've got a first baseman. you know, that I know he's going to be, let's bring in that 38-year-old.
And what did Jim Crane start saying? They had just let Click go, and we want to get more baseball eyes in here, less analytics.
Bagwell, too, was saying the same thing.
Yeah. Bagwell has been saying, that's why everyone knows that's a Bagwell deal, because he had been saying this way before he got into a position to make these kind of, that he was not a fan of analytics and he got into a position, and we know that was his. Montero, honestly, I don't know about the Montero deal.
No, I don't. No, we don't. We don't know. But I will give them credit for this. Rip the Band-Aid off. Okay, it's not working. They're bad. They're bad for the organization. It hurts the organization.
Yeah.
Putting them on the field is, and we'll just eat the money, and that's a lot of money to eat. You got to give them credit for that. It was poorly spent. I don't remember. I don't remember the Astros even Drayton. I guess Drabek and Swindell was bad money spent.
I don't know that.
Lee wasn't bad money spent.
No, well, Lee was not a positive, but his stats were fine. His stats were actually fine.
He drove. Remember, Lance Berkman's in there going, "Y'all got to stop with that." He drove in 100
Carlos
years, 100
Lee,
a
y'all
year.
Kill Carlos Lee. Of course, I don't think Lance was ever on board with Carlos Lee. It was a major factor.
But, well, Carlos Lee showed up. Man, I was in that locker room in spring training when Carlos Lee showed up. 3 days late, and Lance, everybody else was like, "We're all here. Where you at? Where you at, bro?
Hey,
get your ass in here."
But do you really want to give them credit for spending a bunch of money to cut players? Like, that's just horrific baseball when you have to cut guys early.
No, but it is. It is.
I mean, it's just
at least they admitted their mistakes. You know what?
Sometimes you've got to admit your mistake
and move on.
As opposed to
letting it hurt, to hurt you.
Don't get beat twice. There's no doubt. But at the same time, those same moves, this is the domino effect of poor. It's really no different than it's different, but there are similarities to the Bill O'Brien run Texans in that bad moves have domino effects that affect other moves. And I think it's completely reasonable to believe that the money you spent on Montero, and which was too much, and then the length is the length, the money was too much, and then the Abreu deal, which, at the time, let's not change history, we all liked it. It didn't seem like a crazy amount of money. But the fact is, those two deals that you had to eat for nothing basically cost you a chance to realistically trade for a better pitching prospect.
Yeah.
You get Kikuchi because he's a certain, let's be honest, he cost a certain amount of money. And so, one, there's cause and effect there. Because they had only a certain amount of money to spend, and because the Astros have told you, we're not getting into a threshold of tax by overspending, they have limited what they can do with their roster, and there is some cause and effect directly to those two players.
Yeah. Here's the deal: is I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them that they were able to see the error of their ways and move on from it. And they won yesterday. Mauricio Dubon. Now listen, after a start, Mauricio Dubon was a guy. He and Renel Blanco both started out like gangbusters, and were big reasons why the Astros were even afloat when they were terrible early this season, the first 6-7 weeks of the season.
Right.
And Dubon was with runners in scoring because he was the only guy that could do anything. And he fell off the world. Blanco has pretty much, you were right about the innings thing. I mean, it's catching up to him. Maybe it's catching up to Hunter a little bit. And it's going to, Arrighetti is going to find the same thing.
Well, they've got it. I mean, there's historical. It's not me. There's a long list of historical data, which is why why baseball teams limit young pitchers. They try to limit young pitchers in each pitch. That's why Skeens may end up being an outlier. He's such a big bull that he may just be able to rip through innings and not even have an issue.
So anyway, Dubon came up with that. He's putting him in. The first base situation is complicated for me. I mean, I really wanted to see them do something at first base, because when you're pinch hitting, as much as he does for your first baseman, that's supposed to be a big offensive position, and it's like it's the that Who else? They never, you know. Oh, yeah, I guess they'll pinch hit for Caratini when he's in there, when he starts in Yiner. But they would never pinch hit for Yiner in a situation. They'd never pinch hit, obviously, Altuve and Bregman and Tucker and Alvarez. And you're not doing that. But when you're pinch hitting for first base, that's problematic in my eyes, offensively.
Well, it's not ideal. No. But at the same time, would you rather have that issue or the issue you had with automatic out Maldonado last year? I mean, you know, you've been dealing with a catcher who can't hit at all. And so I would argue that I don't know, you probably had more value at the catcher because defensively and psychologically he was really good with the pitchers. Well, I say defensively, not last year, but the year before. But Singleton actually hasn't been bad at first defensively. He actually has not been very bad at first. He's made some plays. He's been okay. But yeah, it's not great, but every team has holes. I think for the Astros, it's really more about Chaz and Jake. If those guys hit the ball a little better, you know, the Singleton hole is a Singleton hole. You're not going to have nine batters that are all above average, but the Astros have a higher number than most teams. It's funny. Did you watch the Astros broadcast the way I showed you to?
No, I did not.
Does it work? Have you checked it?
No, I don't have a TV. I'm in a hotel.
Well, you can watch it off your.
I know. Yeah, but no, we weren't home. Computer. We weren't home last night.
Okay, but you were still able to watch it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have bars here that have. Yeah.
But they're showing Astros games in L.A. Did you go back to the gay bar?
No, I did. Well, I didn't go back to the gay bar, but they have other bars here that are actually sports bars. And they do show the games. I'm actually a BW3 guy now. I've been at BW3. But we got a break here.
No bartender called you sweetie yesterday?
Well, to be fair, it was a gay sports bar.
It was a gay sports bar. Okay.
Not just a gay bar.
Yes, it was a gay sports bar. The right one that we're talking about John went
to. We have
to.
More than one sports bar here. That one's particularly gay.
Yeah, but we think you need to make friends.
I have.
At
I
Buffalo
made friends
Wild
there
Wings?
That day.
Well, you should see your friends again.
I do. I have friends at Buffalo. I do have some straight friends here.
You said everyone was very... Who are your straight friends in L.A.?
Well, I will tell you about it. Actually, after a tennis issue came up yesterday, Marty Fish was my friend.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, here comes Johnny Wood. By the way, that's
Johnny
your new nickname
Wood.
Is Johnny Wood, and I love it.
It's not Johnny Wood. We're going to break. We're going to talk about Doc. So Doc Linville texts me yesterday. He says, and Alicia, his assistant, she texted me first. She said, Doc had canceled surgeries tomorrow, so he's open. Do you want to play golf? And I said, sure, we can play golf because we're going to play here in L.A., I'm not telling you what course we're playing either because I just don't want to hear it from you two and the whole Johnny Wood thing. But then Doc texted me a little bit later, hey, I'm open tomorrow. I was like, yeah, well, fly to L.A., let's go. And he said, I'm unfortunately unable to do that. Here's the deal. There could still be Neo grafting going on tomorrow. The Doc doesn't do that. The Doc oversees all the Neo grafting, and he's the one that's going to determine whether or not you need the PRP, which stimulates the growth, or you need the Neo grafting, which is basically sodding or fertilizing, right? So resodding is you take it from the side and back of your head and you put it to the top. So the Doc is going to tell you which one is right for you, but he's basically he augments women more than anything else. So there's that business that he's doing, and he's doing a pretty good job. I think you can see that through the city of Houston. But here's the deal. You can see this as well, that you need hair, you got hair. Hair is awesome, and hair is better than not hair. So if you're looking for hair and you need hair, 975hair.com, that's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Dell. I don't know that this should be the second segment of our show, but did you guys see Taylor Fritz yesterday?
I don't even know who that is.
Taylor Fritz is a tennis player, and he's representing the United States of America.
Good old USFA?
Yes. He played three matches in 9 hours, and the only reason it was 9 hours is because there was a rain delay in there. Otherwise, he would have played three matches in less than 9 hours.
That feels less than ideal. How did that schedule come about?
So he had a singles match at 103, and it ended at an hour and a half later. Then there was a rain delay, and then he was back on the court for men's doubles at 5:06. That ended at 6:25. At 8:07, he had a mixed doubles match with Coco Gauff. He went 1-2 in those matches. I played golf yesterday with Marty Fish. Marty Fish is, wanted to talk about an athlete. He won a silver medal in 2004 at the Olympics. And he also is a two-time champion. You know how in Lake Tahoe, the celebrities play with the pros?
Yeah.
Last year, Aaron Rodgers won it controversially because of his handicap, and people were, going crazy about that. But Marty Fish has won it a couple of times. He's just a fantastic golfer. He hits it a freaking mile. It's unbelievable. But he told me he lost to Nicholas Massu in the finals. He had an interesting perspective on this. He said, "You don't win a silver. You don't win a silver medal." He said, "You win a gold because you won the match. You win a bronze because you won that match.
Mm-hmm.
But you get stuck with the silver." And he showed the pictures of Nicholas Massu. He's raising his arms and he's the champion. And he showed, Steffi Graf and John and all these guys that were shot. And then he showed his picture when he won the silver. He was so pissed. He was so pissed. But he was ahead in his match. He said, and the guy, Nicholas Massu, had played earlier in the day, and he was like, "Big advantage for me." How in the hell are you playing three matches, Taylor Fritz? And, in a day, he won one and he lost two of his matches. How in the hell are you doing that? How can the Olympics possibly schedule it like that? But Taylor Fritz was like, "Yeah, they could have replaced him in the mixed doubles matches with Coco Gauff." And he said, "Hell no, I'm playing." He said, "I thought we had the best chance. That's what they lost. He lost that one. Coco Gauff is out, and she has won no medals."
Did you see the story on her? It was weird. She was getting her ass kicked, and there was a shot that they don't have the replay system for the Olympics. And she had a shot that she thought was out, but the one judge called it out, and she let it go. And another judge said, "No, the head judge said, no, that was in. That point stands." And so Coco kind of got screwed on that. But she flipped out, started crying. And then, I'm not lying. It was several minutes were stopped because she's arguing with the judge. She starts crying. There's tears streaming down her face. She's already getting her ass kicked. And to her credit, she said afterwards that probably wouldn't have made a difference. But, man, you got to let that point go and move on. You cannot let it beat you like that. That's like, that's like the David Johnson contract. You can't let it beat you twice.
No. So it's funny. Nicholas Massu has been offered to go to Chile. Marty Fish has been offered to go to Chile. He was part of history in Chile. The first ever medal in Chile's history was Nicholas Massu winning the gold. Also, the bronze medal went to a guy from Chile. So they won their first ever medals in Olympic history, and they want him to go down there. And he's like, "Okay, pay me. If you pay me, I'll come down and hang out and relive how I lost the gold medal." But he said, how about this? He said Nicholas Massu, after Marty Fish went up 2-1, Nicholas Massu took a bathroom break and didn't come back for 20 minutes.
Well,
and he's like,
"I've had that happen. All you got to do is get caught on the show."
Well, I don't think he was catching up on Netflix, okay?
If you get caught on some, yesterday, I probably wasted 2 hours of my day scrolling. I was like my daughter, scrolling videos on reels watching Astros, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm laying here on the bed watching Astros Pirates, and I didn't feel great when it was 4-1. I'll be honest. And Fromber comes out with the beads.
4-0.
And Fromber comes out with the braids, and I'm like, oh, Fromber, the braids are. That's the first braid game he's had this year, right?
Yeah, didn't he change in the season and then back?
I don't know. That's the first time I remember seeing braid Fromber back. But
early in the season he was braids, and then he got rid of him.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of thing that would concern me about a pitcher. Yeah, if he's like, I can't decide if I want braids or not. I mean, that's super, super superstitious.
Yeah, and you keep doing that to your head, though, and pretty soon he's going to need Doc Linville.
Well, he's just attaching them to his hair. It's not that big a deal. But okay. Fromber is I give Fromber credit. He sucked early on, but he stayed. They needed innings. They really needed innings to help the bullpen. And Fromber locked in, and Fromber ended up, you know, he ended up finding his stuff, and Fromber fought through it. And so I give him a lot of credit because the Astros really needed to get innings from Fromber, and that's one of those things. In the third inning, you know, of most games, you might have started getting a bullpen up, and they said, we need you, big dog. We got to roll with you like this. And you're staring up, getting swept by the Pirates in the face. And
well, and let me ask you a question. This is the greatest season in Astros history. At what point is Presley not going to be a problem?
Well, so he gives up two hits yesterday. He got two outs. Looks like he was going to cruise.
I thought he was going to get through it with the double play, and then gives up a couple of hits.
Yeah.
When are we going to get a clean sheet?
I
know that he had 15 straight up, blah, blah, and there's never. It's never not dramatic. Never not dramatic. Never. There's always drama with Presley on the mound. There's always – it's always – at what point do we do Abreu in the eighth? When do we say, you know what, is this the right thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, Abreu is clearly better than Presley this year. Look, all three of the big three have had their issues, but how about Montero was considered the big four at one point? He was in there, and now he's not even on the team. For those who missed it, Montero whacked. They got rid of him. So, yeah, props to Jim Crane for getting rid of guys who are just literally dead weight, regardless of how people in the front office might have felt seeing two of their guys gone.
Speaking of Montero, we'll hear from Dana Brown about that, about what's going to happen with him and what led to the decision.
And we got football. It's football time in Houston.
You're damn right we do. There is something that's going to be interesting to watch. There's one thing about that game that's going to be interesting, and we'll get to that. But right now we're getting to HR&P. We're getting to our payroll the way we do it and the way you do it. I don't know how you do it. If you use HR&P, you've probably been on this station because there's so many people that give testimony to how awesome. And you don't hear that. I hear paid people, you know, doing commercials for different companies, admin companies and whatnot, but freely, a lot of HR&P's clients come in here and say, no, we want to advocate, we want to endorse them without, don't worry, they're not getting paid by HR&P, and they're telling you what happens with them and their business when HR&P is involved, and it's great. We love it. You will love it too. And I'm telling you, they'll save you money. I don't know how you're doing it. If you're doing it with an admin company that's doing all of your benefits packages, your insurance and all of that stuff, guess what? You're probably getting worked. And here's the deal is HR&P doesn't do that stuff. They do HR and they do payroll and they take care of your taxes as well. And that's what they do for us. And we love them for it. And you'll love them for it too. HRP.net 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Welcome back, everybody. It's August 1st, and the Astros are in first place. August 1st, Astros first place. And it's also the day the Houston Texans begin their campaign as champions of the National Football League as they take on the Chicago Bears in Canton, Ohio. The thing that we, okay, stuff we're going to look for tonight. Ready, Lance?
Well, he's not ready. He's not.
He's not even in there?
I think you know. Well, you could see if you look at your screen. He's not in there.
Oh, my God.
He'll be back. He's doing the same thing for me that he did for you on Monday or whenever he did that for you.
What, he's putting together? Oh, so that you can. Well, he can do that after the show. It's not like you're jumping on a plane afterwards like I was.
I just need him to pick up the pace. That's all.
So, okay. Dell?
Sure.
What are you looking for tonight?
I want to see how many snaps they give Kamari Lassiter. If he plays, because if he's a, you would imagine he should, but if he's a starter, are they going to treat him like the other established starters and say, hey, you don't have to play today? It usually doesn't happen for a rookie. If he plays, I want to see what he looks like.
I want to see what Kenyon Green looks like.
Yeah.
I'm watching that. Kenyon Green is it's kind of a big deal that Kenyon Green play well. He needs to get off to a good start. And Kenyon Green will play. He hasn't, right? I mean,
even if he's
a starter right
either
now.
Either way,
you don't,
just, yeah. We need to see reps from him.
He needs reps.
I guess my focus has been that as much as they've done this offseason, and they did draft Lassiter, they did sign Okuda and Henderson. If we're talking about issues, my biggest concern for this team is their secondary beyond Derek Stingley. And even if we exclude his lack of availability, and we just assume, let's say he plays 14 games. Let's say he does that. I don't know what the other three guys are going to be. I need to see those three play well. And Jalen Petrie in the nickel, that's another thing. That's a new spot for him. He has been in that role as the nickel guy and two other safeties are playing. I want to see what he is, too.
I want to see what the nickel looks like with him in terms of coverage, because I'm not, you know, convinced that he has, like, are they going to run different coverages for different types of wide receivers that he has to cover? Are they going to play man? Obviously, I think press man's the best for Stingley.
Well, here's the deal: and I'm on our page where we show tonight is a waste of time for both teams. They turn around and play each other in week two. They're going to show nothing. It ain't about what you're going to show. It's not like you're game planning. And you know what? If you're playing man tonight, you're probably playing zone. It doesn't matter. What you're looking for tonight is guys like Petrie playing well in the slot. You're looking to see if Jeff Okuda is going to make the team, if he can play at all. Can C.J. Henderson play? I mean, you're looking for Kenyon Green. You want to see him being able to block somebody after a year off last year.
He better play tonight.
Yeah, no, he has to play tonight. What I'm another thing I'm looking for, the kickoff.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
The kickoff is maybe the biggest thing. You know the difference, and it's funny. I was just reading an article on the kickoff. The difference in the kickoff with the XFL and the NFL, two guys can be back in the NFL. You're able to keep two guys back, not just one. So you've got chances for reverses. For, you know, in rugby, there's called a switch play. Everybody's going right, and you're lateral and right. And or somebody comes back, and you hand off against the grain. And that works quite often in rugby. And you might see that. You actually might see that. If everybody is flowing one way with this kickoff thing, and the other guy comes on basically a reverse or against the grain that everybody is running and there's a hole, that's how that's how you can score a touchdown. Actually, an XFL touchdown was scored that way by somebody who came around. But you don't even have to have a reverse of a guy on the line of scrimmage. Now you got two guys back.
Well, you did have, you know, we've seen that in the NFL, reverse and fake reverse. The difference is typically it's from somebody on the second, you know, on the one of the protection levels who basically has to run backwards and around, and it's a lot more clunky play.
Well, not with two guys back though.
No, that's what I'm saying. With two guys back, now we're going to really see an emphasis. I think what you're going to see is an emphasis on hang time kicks. So you're going to see a lot of kicks poked way up high in the air that is not going to allow.
Well, it doesn't matter because nobody can start until the ball is touched.
Right, right, right. But I think you're going to see an emphasis on teams right now are going to be, I would be working on. One of the things I look at for prospects, I was told to look at by a special teams list, is you look at depth of kickoff, you know, park it or whatever, but that's not really a thing anymore. So now I'm supposed, you know, the other thing I'm supposed to look at is hang time on kickoffs. Now hang time on kickoffs is going to be a really, really big deal. Do you have to, do you have to kick it off a tee? Remember when you, I'm asking because, you know, on safeties you can punt. Do you have to kick off of a tee? Is that a rule?
But what's the hang time? Because you can't, nobody can move until the kick returner touches the ball.
Yeah,
but
the
ball touches the ground. What's the difference how high it is? What's the difference? You can't move until you touch the ball. What's the difference how high the kick is?
Well, obviously it makes a big difference because you got more time to get down there.
No, you don't. There's no time. You can't move until the ball is caught.
John, I thought you said until it's kicked.
No, until the ball is touched by the kick returner.
What are we doing?
Nobody can move
NFL,
until the ball is touched by the kick returner.
Why are y'all doing this weirdo stuff? I mean, my God. Now, this is basically CFL. The NFL is the greatest league in the world, and they decided to add some goofy stuff on kickoffs.
Well, we'll see, and we'll see whether or not it's safer, because that's all we care about. Now, we will play games on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
We're trying,
not Tuesday, though, because of safety.
Do you remember when they said, basically, we want to eliminate, basically what the NFL's trying to do is eliminate kick returns, because it's too dangerous.
Yes.
We're going to eliminate kick returns.
But we're going
to
play.
And then now it's like, we're trying to bring back kick returns.
Right.
More kick. We want all of the kick returns. Like,
everybody,
which one is it?
Everybody, kick returns are the best.
You know what? We're going to review offensive pass. We're going to review pass interference penalties. We're reviewing it. And then, you know what? We're not doing that anymore. It took 1 year, and they said, this rule sucks. I get the Saints got screwed, but this isn't the way to go. It's like one and done. And I actually do
this
give
won't
them
be
credit
one and
for
done.
Trying things. I
this
give
will
them
not
credit.
Be one and done. This will not be one and done. This will not be. This is
no,
going
personally,
to, this
I,
is going to
I,
be in your league for years and years to
I
come.
I do like the idea of more kick returns.
Yes.
I do like the idea of more kick returns. But
it's safer. It is actually safer. You guys aren't flying down the field, getting lit up, you know. It's just not. There's not bigger collisions.
No squib kicks. Do you like the – what about the thing where you can't onside kick till the fourth quarter and you have to announce an onside
right.
kick? And
exactly.
It's – boy, these are like pretty radical. If you think about it, this is the most radical sets of changes to a gameplay. I mean, the most – I can't think of anything that even comes close to this except the baseball. That was pretty radical to have a man starting on second base in extra innings, to have bigger bases, which I'll be honest, I haven't even noticed the bigger bases. I know we're year two, but I don't
safer.
Even think about it anymore. Yeah. And the pitch clock is fine. It doesn't even bother me anymore.
No, it's actually just part of, you know what? You got a clock in basketball. They didn't have one before. You know what? It's a better game with a shot clock. I mean, you have to adapt
yeah,
and make it a better
I'm
game.
Fine with it. You know what? I've come around on pitch clock.
And you
that's
know what?
Fine.
You're going to be like, oh, you know what? The kickoffs, it's just that's how it is now.
Well, that's going to be – that's pretty weird where we have to pay attention to where the kickoff lands. And
yeah.
there's a large – there's a big wide gap of where the ball gets placed. And it's – I mean, that's pretty – the rules feel like some kids out – this feels like when me and Mac Jones and Johnny Harris and my brother would be making up rules – we'd have a new game we were going to make up and like, okay, we only have five people playing, so here's the rule. If the kick goes past the tree, that's what it feels like somebody did.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you know what? Make it a better game. Make the world safe again for kickoffs. And that's what they've done. And we'll watch it tonight for the first time. It'll be interesting
make
to see.
Make the world safe for kickoffs.
Yes. It's a safer world for kicking that we're living in today. And we'll find out about it tonight. We'll see it for the first time. This is what just going to be experimented a lot in the preseason. This is where, because the preseason is the preseason. Nobody cares, right? But coaches are going to be keeping an eye on this and how it works out and what to do and how to be better at it than the other coaches. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Anything that you would like to talk about here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we get back, we'll hear from Dana Brown about this stuff, about cutting Montero and whatnot, and your Astros are in first place right here on August 1st, 2024. I am talking right now about the great people over at GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com is the place to go to get your car on, to sell your car. I love what I love about GiveMeTheVIN.com is that they are going to pay you more. That's all there is to it. John Clay Wolf, he's going to be with us Saturday morning here. I don't know if you like John Clay Wolf. Do you like his style, his radio, some of the stuff he says? I don't know. But if you listen to this show, you know, sometimes you hear stuff that you shouldn't hear, or and you have maybe you don't object to it. So maybe you'd like John Clay Wolf. If you haven't heard his show on Saturday mornings, he's out there. It's fun. He's going to say some stuff that you're like, wow, I didn't know you could still say those kind of things. But he does it. And here's the deal, is he'll pay you more as well. You could call the radio show, and he will give you a quote on how much he will give you for his car, for your car. And here's the deal, is you go armed, and you might say, nah, I'm going to go look and see if I can't get more. Or you'll be like, wow, that is a lot more than I've been out there and getting. No one has offered me that much. And he says, if I can't beat CarMax, I'm going to send you $100. This happens very rarely. But here's the deal. You're looking to sell your car. There's one place that you have to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's John Granato as I'm looking at our desk. Can he? There he is.
He's in here.
All right, quickly. I don't know if you know or don't know. Fromber's record.
Lance. Fromber's record. He's got, what is it, still 7 wins?
That's about what I thought, too. He's 10-5.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did Fromber get these
wins? Does he feel like he's 10-5?
Mm-mm.
I mean, it doesn't...
He does feel like his ERA is in the mid-3s.
Yeah. Well,
it's really more like upper 3s now.
You know what his ERA is this month?
He's
had 5 starts.
He's actually had some good starts, too. He's been a little up and down. I'm going to say 3-3.
He's 2-9. He had 4 wins this month. 4-0 this month.
And we're sure...
It just doesn't really feel like it.
It doesn't feel like that.
I don't know why.
He had 2 really good starts in a row, then he had a bad one, and then he had a good one, and then yesterday was not great.
The last 2 months, he's 7-2. He had a 3-1-1 in June. And he had a 2-9-0 in July.
Then why are we going with the braids?
Why are we what?
Why'd we go back to the braids then?
I don't know why. I mean, he's been pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it doesn't feel that way. Because I guess we're used to him. I mean, you know, he did have a 4-run inning again, and it's just like when he blows up, man, he just blows up. But you, to his credit, like you said, I mean, he buckled down last night and he was really, really good after that. Which
yeah,
really...
I mean, he had pretty good stuff. He had pretty good movement. The breaking pitch started to really sink in. Like, he just wasn't great the first 3 innings, but he did come around after that.
So, day off today, Kikuchi on Friday.
Can't wait.
Tampa, tomorrow night.
Can't wait.
No. I hope he just kicks ass. I hope. You know what? And there's a chance that Dana Brown, and after all the crap that he took, and everybody, every media outlet gave him crap for this trade. So I'm hoping that Dana Brown says, oh, yeah, look at this. Now, Dana Brown says he wants Montero to go to AAA. So he's hoping that he accepts his assignment. Dana Brown is going to try to talk Montero into getting his stuff right down in AAA. Here is Dana Brown talking about that.
I envision that he would accept the assignment and go to AAA and try to regain the status that he had, you know, in 2022. You know, Montero's been really good for this organization. He's got a lot of family in this clubhouse and friends, and a big part of it is that we hope that he goes down to AAA and kind of refines himself and get back to that status of being really good. So, and with that said, I'll take any questions you guys may have.
Well, I got a question. So what led Dana Brown, what exactly led, I mean, it's not, it's kind of obvious, you know, he's really, well, it's pretty obvious, but it's still a question. What led to this decision to DFA him?
We're just, you know, trying to improve the bullpen and get strong, and we realize that Montero has been going through a rough patch, and I mean, he's been really good for this organization, and, you know, it kind of stands out when you're going through a rough patch, and I think he realized he was struggling, and he was frustrated, and, you know, so we're really trying to lock down our bullpen, and so we felt like this would really help our bullpen. Our guys have been grinding through the whole year, and so, you know, we just want to bring in some reinforcements.
Tell you, yeah, I mean, it's been, well, he's going through a rough patch. Year and 4 months of rough patch.
It's funny. What if he would have answered? What if they said, what went into your decision to DFM? Well, I mean, you saw him. We can't have that. This has been going on.
Do we have to look at the back of his baseball card?
Yeah, this has been going on forever. I mean, last year to this year, it's just like, you know, if he was any other guy that wasn't owed a bunch of money, you think we'd keep him up? No.
Well, here's the first time. Remember the Abreu press conference? How many times did he, Dana Brown, said, I wasn't here when we signed him?
Right.
Right? Did we get that yesterday? I wasn't at the press conference yesterday. Did Dana Brown at any point say, I wasn't here when we signed Montero? That's all. Listen.
He should have.
He should have. We're making another economic decision. Well, it's not really an economic decision. It's a big loser all the way around.
I'd be interested in, you know, we've been told, we know that all those moves are, it's the fellowship makes the decisions, have made the decisions. I'd be interested if somebody asked him, hey, who were the decision makers that went into the Kikuchi trade? And to see if Dana would say that's his, or if he would say it's the fellowship, all of us, all five of us, or whatever. I would be interested to see if he'd say the same thing, because you really can't change that. But if he did that, then that would put Bagwell on the hook in terms of people wanting to put. They already want to put Bagwell on the hook for this trade. You can already see that people want to put Bagwell on the hook. There's a picture of him talking to Dana in the second inning of the first game of the series against the Pirates after that deal was made, and how people were like, damn it, I knew he did this. And so it'd be interesting to see if he would say all of them were involved in that again, because that would allow people to use Bagwell as kind of a scapegoat for that. Ultimately, you know, I believe that the deal gets done based on the general manager's negotiations. Now, I suppose, you know, Brian Cashman, they bailed out. Who were they going after? Cashman and the Yankees actually bailed out on who were they? They were going after. Oh, the Jack Flaherty. That's right. It was Flaherty sweepstakes.
Yep. Yep.
And the Yankees just ended up bailing out on it. The Yankees had a preliminary trade agreement in place, but New York was turned off after looking at Flaherty's medical records. They didn't feel the pressure of, like, we just got to do something. They basically said, no, we're still going to stay true to our belief system, and this is, you know, the medicals, we just don't agree with it. I personally felt like the Astros should have said, nope, you're asking for too much here. We're going to have to, you know, we've got to fight back a little bit. I mean, you just got done dumping Montero. You could have made a deal with them and said, look, as part of this deal, we're going to give you $7 million. We're going to throw that in as well. But we want you to take Montero, and then you can DFA him. Or I guess it would have to be more, because once you take him, you're guaranteed the contract. So maybe you could have said, you know, we're going to give you $9 million, and you're responsible for the rest of Montero's deal. And Montero could have been DFA'd by the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, why, if you knew you were going to get rid of him, why not make, and of course he did show up in that game, if I remember correctly, but if you if you had a chance to get rid of him, if you were already considering DFAing him, why not try to get him included, even if it meant they only took on $2 million of his contract? At least that's $2 million you would have saved.
Yeah. Well, all of this started with, you know, Dana Brown and decision-making and whatnot. Listen, the Kikuchi, I can't wait. Hey, you know what? You know who's not off today? Probably Kikuchi and the pitching coaches, Miller and Murphy. They're probably working on his grip. They're probably giving him some because Dana Brown, or, you know, no, it was Joe Espada, said, hey, listen, we think we can work with some things with him and we can get him right. Well, I think the law firm is going to be working with him today to maybe he's going to change some things up tomorrow. There are things that they really like about people, and one of them is swing and miss for pitchers, and he's got some swing and miss into him. So we'll find out whether or not there's a little tweak here or there that can get Kikuchi right, and we'll start tomorrow night. But the Texans start tonight, and we'll get back to that. On the other side, some people that we will look at, watching, some things to watch for tonight with your Houston Texans. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, I'm talking about Chastain Ford. I just can't be. And listen, I don't know where you buy your cars from. Are you completely? Is it a good car buying experience? Because I got news for you. Mine is a great car buying experience. Mine is the best car buying experience I've ever had, which is why I'm sticking with Chastain, which is why I'll be with Chastain. The service is second to none. But the main thing is that, you know, I'm making payments every month on my vehicle that I'm not choking on. I got what I wanted exactly the way that I wanted it. I was able to customize it. Justin and I sat down and we customized it exactly how I wanted it. You can go to the dealership and find maybe still 2023 F-150 still on the lot, and they've come with equipped with whatever it is. But if that's not perfect for you, don't get that vehicle. But I'm going to tell you this, the price is ridiculously low on the 2023 F-150s at Chastain Ford right now because they just got to get them off the lot. So you're going to win in that one too. But here's the deal is they never want you to be choking on a pay. They never want to add on or mark up. They never, ever, ever want you to have a bad car buying experience or them make more profit. That's not what they're about. They want you as a customer for life. You're going to join the Chastain family. I'm telling you, you are. You will love the car buying experience. On 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.